up, everybody? Welcome to the Two Woke Nerds podcast. It's been a bit since we've been on. Gerald and I have equally important things going on in our life. You know, Gerald has a Gerald has a brand new child. I have my own version of a brand new child in Mass Effect Andromeda that is taking up all of my free time, even time I should be working, that has been spent playing Mass Effect Andromeda. But we wanted to take a second because, you know, it's a big week. New trailer came out for Spider-Man Homecoming. Wanted to take a second to record a short podcast about that because obviously we have some thoughts about it. Before we do that, I mean, I know you've gotten a small chance to play Andromeda, and we're going to do, for sure, we'll do a full podcast about this at some point in the future. But you've had a small chance to play Andromeda, so kind of what are your initial thoughts from your playthrough?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, like you, I can't name my child Scott Ryder. can't just pretend that. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I've basically been playing between naps as the kid and my wife both sleep. They're asleep. Let me get a couple 30 minutes in. And it's been interesting so far. I texted you this like the moment I jumped into character creation. Like all BioWare games, black people hair continues to be underwhelming at best.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
You either have an afro, you've got the curls, or you're bald. You got three options.
Only three.
People complain about the some of the romance options, but try needing a black haircut in the BioWare universe. It's hard to come by, but it's been fun. It feels like Mass Effect. It feels like a BioWare game. You know, you start off with kind of the fetch quests to get used to the navigation and the waypoints and all of that. And so, it feels like a BioWare game, which as someone who loves BioWare games, I feel like that's a good thing. I really liked the opening mission with Alec and seeing what all the powers could be and what they all could do. But overall, I've been impressed with the limited time I have. You know, we jumped into both the multiplayer and the single player. The multiplayer, just as fun as it was for me in Mass Effect 3. A bit more of a learning curve because the cover system is different. But outside of that, I'm having a really good time.
Yeah, I first of all, I'm upset that you wouldn't think that I would name my character Ray Ryder. How could he not be Ray Ryder? That's such a perfect... Anyway, so that's what I named him, obviously. And the haircuts for white folk is fine. So I've basically got my haircut going, like the super hipster haircut. And if I could grow a proper beard, I got that going. Yeah, it's my Ray Ryder's looking on point, let me say.
That's good.
This game is like it's meeting my expectations. The combat is like you mentioned the system for cover, which is a little bit kind of clunky to get used to, but once you do, it makes the game so much more free-flowing, especially if you're a biotic, like I always play as a biotic. The combat in it is really free-flowing. The combos are cool. I like everything about it. What I would say is that they have seemed to miss the point about what people didn't like about Mass Effect to start with, in that you don't want to be in the Mako all the time. Just because you call it a nomad now doesn't mean I want to be in it all the time. The way you move between systems and that you actually have to sit there and go from planet to planet to planet. Oh, that's just frustrating and takes so long. So like, it's funny that like they look at all the things that you complained about the original Mass Effects, like just having to go from planet to planet and all those things. They go, yeah, we don't care. We're just going to keep doing it because I guess it makes the game longer. So you look at it and you say, oh, I've been playing for 40 hours. It doesn't matter that 10 of those hours have been spent moving between planets to scan for things which may or may not be there. Like, that's, I guess that doesn't matter to them. But that's my only complaint so far. Oh, and I'm about, like I said, I'm about 40 hours in. It has started to get, as the world expands, it begins to get slightly buggy. You know, people, enemies sitting in rocks that you can't shoot, which is slightly annoying. But other than all that stuff, I'm liking it quite a bit right now.
Yeah, and I think the preview reaction was a bit overblown. I think people highlighted two or three real bad spots in the first 6 hours of the game or so. We're like, here, see, it's terrible. And then, you know, you go back on the Mass Effect Reddit and it's calmed down and people are very, very happy with the game. So I think overall, I fall into that camp. You know, it's a Mass Effect game. It's a BioWare game. And that's what I, you know, paid my $60 for. And so I'm enjoying it.
All right. So let's talk about what we're here to talk about, the Spider-Man Homecoming. And like we said, it's a big trailer that came out, so we wanted to talk about it. Obviously, this is going to be the biggest movie of my summer simply because Marissa Tomei's in it. And 100%. That Jean kind of turtleneck situation she had going in the trailer, just telling you that I'm a fan. I love Marissa Tomei so much. But I think this was a good trailer. I'm angry about the trailer in some ways. We could talk about in a second. But this kind of looks like it's going to be a good movie. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it shows why Marvel needed their best character back. When Marvel was going through the financial woes of the 90s and early 2000s and they sold off Spider-Man, I prayed for the day that, you know, once the MCU started, I prayed for the day that they'd get a crack at the web slinger. And it looks like, you know, they've delivered. We saw some great stuff in Civil War, and that seems to be continuing in this trailer. The thing I liked about it the most is the Peter Parker that they're presenting to us, because he's still an awkward teenager making awkward jokes, doesn't know when to shut up. And I love that it takes him back to being like broken, under equipped, because that was one of my biggest fears going into the movie, was that he was going to have all of the Stark tech equipment and be overpowered and it not feel like a challenge to him. And what everybody loves about Spider-Man is that, and Peter Parker really, is that he's a lovable underdog that even when he does his best, still always comes up short. He's always running late for the date with Mary Jane because Doc Ock caught him on the way up, or, you know, he loses his job delivering pizzas because supervillain X decided to just blow him up on the way over there. So that's what we love about Peter Parker. It looks like that's what they're getting back to, and that's something that I really appreciate about it. And then the Vulture, like, you know, Michael Keaton, you know Michael Keaton's going to turn in a great performance, but he looks legitimately terrifying. And even when he's not in the Vulture costume, which the Vulture costume is awe-inspiring. You know, I saw a side-by-side comparison of the Falcon Sam Wilson's wings compared to the Vulture wings, and it is like a 3-to-1 size comparison. And so he looks terrifying. He looks great. We got a quick shot of the Shocker, Bakeem Woodbine playing the Shocker, which looks fantastic.
Oh, his name. I'm never going to tire of his name. I want him to be in every Noah Hawley thing that ever. I'm upset he's not in Legion. I love that guy, and I love that name.
Anything he's been in that hasn't been like a B movie has been fantastic, and he's been fantastic in it. He's did a couple of like early 2000s B horror movies that were like, you could do better, but you know, sometimes black actors got to take what they can take. But no, all in all, it's really fantastic. And something came out today, actually, you know, earlier in the week, I believe it was on Monday, they talked about how Michael Keaton, he and his cohorts, his little group, of the Shocker and the other villains of the film, their day job is they clean up after the superhero battles.
Damage control. And, they are damage control.
Well, what sets him off, this came out today, is that Tony Stark, Stark Industries, is a competitor, and Stark Industries is actually damage control. And Michael Keaton's group is the startup, and that's what pisses him off initially.
That makes sense. They have that shot in the trailer that has Stark ahead above where it says damage control ? Mm-hmm. But I thought that meant that he was taking on damage control. That's an interesting kind of way that they're getting into this conflict.
Yeah. So that the director confirmed that literally today. So that's an interesting way to get into the conflict. And it gets Tony Stark weaved in this narrative, for better or for worse. Sometimes less Tony Stark is more Tony Stark. We've seen that in a couple of films, but
yeah, I was going to say, one of my points from this trailer is there might be too much Tony Stark in this movie. There very well might be a little too much of him.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been the cornerstone of the MCU, for better or for worse, depending on who you ask. And so it looks like they're kind of tying Spider-Man and Iron Man together very, very closely, which could lead to some interesting things later on down the line.
What I liked about the movie is, what I like about the trailer is that it's very clear what they're going for here. And I think it's what an origin story should be. We're not going to see Uncle Ben. Oh, it's just wonderful. But it's a coming of age tale. It's really what it is. I mean, you could tell from that interview in the limo that he has the immaturity of someone who does not know how bad things can go. Like, that conversation really sounds like a 16-year-old trying to negotiate with their parents to keep the family car out after 10 p.m. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what that conversation sounds like. And then obviously the boat is the humbling moment. And from there, it completely changes. The problem I have with this trailer is I think this movie is going to be good. The problem is I know everything that's going to happen in this movie already. Like, you know every single thing that's going to happen in this movie already from this trailer. It's not like the Guardians trailer, which I think is keeping a lot. It's not like that trailer. It's just that you go, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Boat's going to happen. Then he's going to have to fight, and then he's going to have to prove himself, and then, you know, there we move on from there. So that's very disappointing. I know that's the way that trailers are going, unfortunately, but I'm quite disappointed by that kind of realization.
And for me, that screams of Sony and not Marvel, because Marvel and Disney are always really great about keeping things. They give you enough to whet your appetite, but they don't give you enough to give away the plot. And so I think some of the Sony is shining through on that, which, you know, Sony is distributing the film. Marvel Studios is producing it, but Sony itself is distributing it. So I think you see some of Sony, and we're going to continue to see Sony in the marketing, which could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. Who knows? But I think, you know, Sony has now had 5 cracks at Spider-Man, and 40% of them have been good. So we can see, you know, again, they're not producing this one, but they are marketing and developing it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, that's all I got for the trailer. I mean, are you doing anything interesting other than raising a child? You know, that minor thing of raising a child?
You know, my wife and I, one of the things that you do a lot when you have a newborn is you sit in silence to make sure they stay asleep. So we've been watching a lot of Netflix and Hulu. And so my wife and I have stumbled into This Is Us, cause we're married. And so, you watch shows like that, and it's actually really good, really well written, really well acted. So if you're into like family dramas, check that out. And then we also have started watching Black-ish.
Yeah. Black-ish is good. It's good.
Which, don't sleep on Black-ish. It's real funny. If you are not comfortable with racial humor, then definitely skip a show called Black-ish. But if you're listening to the show, then I assume you probably don't mind poking fun at social norms and things that are fun in our society. We just watched the N-word episode yesterday, and that was fantastic.
It's great. It's like that is what sitcoms used to be. That, by the way, that episode is an example, and obviously it's from a different perspective. Their ability to do that is when I went, oh, this is a really good show. Because that's what I used to think about Scrubs. The reason I love Scrubs is because they could do those episodes. And as soon as they were able to do that episode, and Fishburne is just fantastic. As soon as they do that episode, I went, okay, this is a proper sitcom television show that deserves that kind of recognition. It's good.
Yeah, so don't sleep on Black-ish. Don't sleep on This Is Us. Cause again, if you like those family dramas, it's a really good show. And then when Adrian's not around, I've been catching up on some anime that I'm missing. I'm about 6 episodes into One Punch Man, which, if you like anime and you grew up watching Dragon Ball Z or Naruto, which just ended its ridiculous 500 episode run. If you love those shows but you know the flaws of those shows, check out One Punch Man. Cause it is all about like that ultimate superpowered person, but because he's so powerful, he can end every fight in one punch, and so he's bored. It's really, really funny. So check it out. It's on Netflix, One Punch Man.
I've actually been watching a lot of British comedy lately for some reason. I really don't know how I got started on this. And there's a show from Britain called 8 out of 10 Cats, which is pretty good. I like 8 out of 10 Cats. It's a panel show, you know how they have
it. Is that a statistic from your life?
Yeah. 8 out of 10 Cats I enjoy. But but they have another one where they do 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown. Countdown is a British game show, which is quite good. It's a really enjoyable game show. I especially if you're into like deciphering words, things like that. But they do it with comedians, and it is exceptional. So if you find yourself on YouTube with nothing to watch, find an episode, any episode, it doesn't matter. There's no continuity of 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown. I recommend I guarantee you're going to laugh. I absolutely love that show.
Awesome. I may have to check it out.
All right. Well, that's it for us. It's short and sweet. Just wanted to talk about the trailer. We'll be back. I think we might start doing more of these shorter ones. That's a good idea, but we'll be back with some real episodes. I'll try to pull away from my child and to start to play at some things, and we'll try to do a few more of these. But really appreciate you guys listening. If you like what you hear, subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend. It helps us a lot. Follow us on Twitter at @2WokeNerds. You can follow Jared on Twitter at @GHGoodridge. I'm on Twitter at @RMSummerlin. And until next time, stay woke.
Stay woke.